A reading from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 8, and verses 18 through 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes out and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown."
Well, good morning to everyone. So I've often joked that I have what we call in English a brown thumb. But this spring, during quarantine, I decided to plant a garden in my tiny backyard. And I now have zucchinis and cucumbers and peppers and tomatoes, and I ate them for the first time this week. But I took the easy way out. You see, first of all, I brought that black carpet that you put down so you don't actually have to weed all summer long. And instead of saying I planted a garden, I should probably say I re-planted a garden. Because what I did is I went to the store and I bought a whole bunch of baby plants of all different shapes and sizes, and I planted those. And the fact that I don't even know the word in English for baby plant lets you know the lack of horticultural skills that I have. Another way that you know I don't have a whole lot of planting skills is the fact that I somehow managed to buy a tomtato. In case you don't know what a tomtato is, apparently it's a hybrid plant, which is tomato on top, and all summer long it grows tomatoes, and then in the autumn you pull it up and it's got potatoes underneath. Kind of weird, but it's been really fascinating for me to watch my tomtato for the past few months, because first it sprouted up like this big when nothing else did. Then I moved it next to a cucumber that completely choked it out, and Isabel helped me this week. We moved that cucumber and it came back to life. But this morning, I looked at him and half of him was shriveled up completely and the other half had these little bitty green tomatoes. So I don't know how many more permutations my tomtato is going to go through, but I hope that in the autumn I'm going to pull up a whole bunch of those potatoes. We'll let you know how that goes. But the whole reason that I cheated and I started with my baby plants is because the concept of planting from a seed and waiting for that seed to germinate and grow roots and then sprout up, it's pretty prone to difficulties. And I wasn't sure I could manage that. So I started with the baby plants because I was pretty sure that I would get a good yield for the amount of effort that I was willing to put in. But the good news is that Jesus is not lazy like I am. Jesus is an excellent sower, and he has the patience to go ahead and plant things from seeds, to watch them grow up, even though he knows that at the end of the time, they're not all going to bear fruit or vegetables. And that's what today's parable is all about. And today's parable has two different titles. Sometimes we call it the parable of the sower, and sometimes it's called the parable of the soils. And I think that both of them are two different lessons that we can learn from this parable. So I'm going to speak about both of those names. And just in case there's someone here who English is not your native language, to sow, S-O-W, means to plant. It's not an everyday word. So the Bible tells us that Jesus went out to the boat, he sat down, and he spoke to the crowds. And he told them a story about a planter, a sower, who went out with the same seed, but had very different results depending on where the seed landed. So first were the seeds that went on the wayside, or as our translation today said, they fell on the path. And I like the word path because I can relate to that one. I just think about here in Prague, all those paths we see through the grass with people who are trying to get to their bus stop about 3 seconds faster, and that ground becomes all packed down. And the seed that falls on that hard ground, of course, it can't go in, so it just gets trampled upon by the hurried commuters or the birds come down and get it. Nothing happens to that seed. And then the second example was the seed that fell on the rocky soil. These are the people who hear and they believe the word. And at the time that he was speaking, Jesus himself was the word. And the Gospel of John begins, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God." And Jesus, the word, he came down, he became fully human. He was born, he walked among us, he was healing and teaching through parables like this. Of course, he died on the cross, taking on our sin. And then he rose again on Easter, and he saved us. Through him, we have eternal life. So that's the gospel, that's the good news. That is the seed that we're speaking about today. And some people, as the parable tells us, they're like the rocky soil. They hear this good news, they understand it, and they sprout. But when hardships come, they turn away. Then there was the third soil that we heard about, among the thorns. These people hear the gospel, embrace it, they grow above ground. But once they're there, they let worries and the riches of the world choke them out, and they don't grow the way they're supposed to. And of course, finally was the fourth soil. That would be the good soil. The people who hear it and germinate and they grow, they push above ground and they let the sun and his living water to nurture them as they grow and grow. Eventually they have fruit. And the gospel tells us that it's different fruit. It can be 30 or 60 or 100 times more, which is pretty interesting because again, they all had the same sower. They all had the same seed. And the results were completely varied, from nothing at all to my baby plants that grew a little and then died, to the plants that grew but didn't have fruit, and those that grew and had fruit of 30, 60, and 100 times more. It's pretty incredible. And so then we ask ourselves, who was the sower? And the original sower, of course, was Jesus. But all of us are also sowers. Any Christians who proclaim him. And the seed, of course, is the gospel of Christ's life and death and resurrection. He's our Savior. And the soil is the heart. It's the hearts of everyone who hears the message. The first three rejected him, the final one accepted, all in their own unique ways. So as I was reading this parable, I thought, okay, well, what do we need to think about? And I think there's actually four different questions we can ask. Well, okay, what did Jesus mean for the people who listened to him originally? And what did Jesus mean for the apostles who listened? Because I think there was a slightly different message for them. And then today, what does it mean for us as individuals as we listen to it? And what does it mean for us as apostles? As Bill shared last week, as we go forth in our daily living and share the good news. We'll talk a little bit about those. Now, when I first started reading, I was thinking about the fact that this parable is actually clear. Not a lot of parables are, but in this particular parable, we skipped the middle section, but Jesus tells the parable, the disciples come up, they go, we don't really get it. Can you tell us what it means? And Jesus says, sure, I'll tell you when he told you, which is what we have here. Then he goes on, he tells the story about the weeds and the mustard seed and the yeast, and only then, in verse 36, does Jesus leave. So at least in Matthew's version of this, the people actually heard the meaning, and they got what the meaning was. So I imagine a lot of his listeners who were standing there on the shore that day, they went home and they remembered this story and they shared it with their friends and their family and they started thinking, okay, well, what kind of soil am I? So that would be the parable of the soils back then. What about the parable of the sower back then? And I think that Jesus maybe had another reason for telling this to his disciples, because he knew that his time on earth, it was limited. And he knew that pretty soon those disciples were going to go out and become sowers. And it's pretty hard to be a sower, because you're out there and you're trying, and it can get pretty discouraging or frustrating when you see that a lot of those seeds aren't growing. And I think that by sharing this story, this parable, they could then remember in those hard days that were to come, and which definitely came, that it's not always easy, and to not get frustrated, because the parable tells us that three of the four groups never did anything, but that one who did grow, grew 30, 60, 100 times more, and to focus on that and not be discouraged. So again, perhaps that's some of what this parable meant 2 millennia ago to the people who heard it then. But what does it mean for us? And when I first started, I'd always heard this is the parable of the sower. My Bible has it right there before I read it, so I'm ready to be a sower. And I thought, that's a pretty good message for us, isn't it? I mean, in this congregation, we have a disproportionate number of people who are full-time missionaries. And I can't imagine, especially in this country, which is one of the most atheistic countries on the planet, we've heard the metaphor that planting here, it's like planting in a parking lot. It has to be discouraging. But even for the rest of us, and Bill told us so clearly last week that the commission, we are all commissioned to go out and share the good news. And I loved the message. It wasn't go out and do it. It was as you go about your daily life, share the gospel. And so I was thinking about that this week, and I thought, aha, I like puns. If we kind of take last week's message and this week's parable and we merge them together, maybe our theme is that we're supposed to sow as we go. So if we're all out to sow as we go, God's given us the seeds. And it's so easy again for us to focus on those times that aren't working. But to remember not to get discouraged, because God's not calling us to be in charge of the whole process, that planting that happens underneath. He's calling for us to sow. And so can we do that? Can we just go out today and tomorrow and next month and sow as we go about our daily lives and trust in him for what comes afterwards? So if that's maybe a modern application for the parable of the sower, what could be our modern application for the parable of the soils? Because there's very, very much a message for us there. And Jesus wants us to hear that. In fact, he said, listen. And then he said a little bit later on, hear the parable. So he wants us to hear it and really meditate on it in our hearts. What does it mean for you? What does it mean for me? And so I think we need to start answering, what kind of soil am I? Finally, another confession. I've got lots of those today, but I love this parable. And when I'm reading it and reading the explanation, I'm crystal clear on the difference between the four of them. But as soon as I step away from my Bible, I have to go through a long process to remember which is which. I kind of have to go, okay, rocky soil, no room for roots, poor roots grow, hardships wither, got it. But of course, the soil is your heart. And so this week, I came across a devotion. It's by someone named Greg Laurie, And his devotion is called The Implanted Word. I found it on Christianity.com. And what he's done is he's just said, what kind of heart do you have? And for some reason, this just clicks in my head and makes it really clear. So he said there's four hearts. You have a hard heart. You hear it, but you never believe. You have a shallow heart. You hear it and you sprout up quickly, but then wither. You have a crowded heart. You grow up, but then the riches and worries of the world prevent you from growing all the way. Or the fruitful heart, which of course grows and yields fruit. And for me, those phrases are crystal clear. I can remember those easy peasy. And so again, let's take a few minutes in your own mind to think about, what heart are you? Do you have a hardened heart? Or do you have a shallow heart? Maybe it's the crowded heart or the fruitful heart. And I spent some time this week asking myself that question. I'll take you through my thought process as you go through yours. And I didn't find it a very productive exercise, actually, because none of them felt quite right. I mean, I think I can say I don't have a hardened heart because I do believe in Jesus. I would really like to say that I don't have the shallow heart because I've been through some hard times, but I've never faced persecution because of the word the way a lot of people have. I mean, if I lived in Prague 30 years ago instead of today, I can't say for sure that I would have been faithful. And then we've got that crowded heart, and I do let the worries of the world get in the way sometimes. And I want to have a fruitful heart. I'd like to have a fruitful heart, but if I'm really honest, I mean, I was praying about this, so I was going to be honest before God, and I don't think I can stand before God and say, I have a fruitful heart. I can stand before him and say, I want to have one. And so as I was asking myself these questions this week, I thought, maybe I'm asking the wrong question. That instead of asking, do I have, what kind of soil am I? What kind of heart do I have? Maybe the question is, what kind of soil am I? What kind of heart am I today? Because I think I'm all four. I mean, I definitely still have days with a hard heart. Maybe days where I'm reading the Bible, not because I actually want to hear the word of God, but because I feel I'm supposed to, or I don't do it at all, or I'm trying to make it through my read the Bible in a year plan. And I'm opening it up and my eyes are seeing the word, but I'm not actually being very receptive to the truth of Scripture. I've got some of those days. And I've got days where I have a shallow heart. I get all excited and enthusiastic and I'm going to do something all the time. And I do it every day, or a couple weeks or a couple months. And then I kind of go back to my own imperfect practices. And I have not just days, but I've got entire seasons where I've got a crowded heart, where I don't lose my Christian roots. I'm still a Christian plant, but I'm caught up with worries about my family or my job. And I can be focused on wealth or possessions sometimes. And I don't know about you, but I read the Old Testament, and those people, they go and they leave the true God to be worshiping idols. And I'm like, you're so stupid. I just don't even understand that. But the moment I take the words worshiping idols and replace them with the words prioritizing money, which is something that is a lot more real for us today, I realize that I can practice idolatry too. I do indeed have days and seasons with a fruitful heart, because I wouldn't be up here and I wouldn't be worshiping and part of your family if that weren't true. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that my faith is real, but I'm imperfect. Just like the sign says outside our church, imperfect people are welcome. And I was trying to find a metaphor, because again, I like metaphors. And I thought, my heart is changeable. So maybe God planted my seed and I grew and I'm a perennial. I come back every year. But the soil, the pH level of the soil of my heart keeps changing. So on any given day, my yield might be a little bit different. But thankfully, our God is not just a God who's good at sowing, but he's a good planter in all the stages. He's always an excellent gardener. And even when it looks like our hearts are changeable or stunted, maybe choked or inconsistent, our God, he loves us. And he forgives us. And he didn't just give us sunlight, but he gave us his son. He gave us Jesus Christ to be our Savior. And I believe that if we pray for him to grow our faith, he will. Now, right after our parable today, Jesus goes on to tell the parable of the mustard seed. It's that tiny, tiny seed that grows into an amazingly huge bush. It's a great image. And I am so thankful in history and in my life for those people I've known who are mustard seeds of the faith. But I think there's a lot of plants and a lot of harvests. And if I have to look at myself, I think I'm probably a lot more like that tomtado in my backyard. I'm not always consistent. I'll sprout fast. I'll be choked out by that cucumber. I'll come back again. I'll do my tomatoes. I'll have some big ones and some small ones. And even when it looks like maybe I'm shriveling up a little bit, God doesn't give up on me because he's got those potatoes underneath that are hiding, but they're there and ready to serve. So maybe I'm a terry-tado instead of a tomtado. And then again, each of you, you have your faith journeys. You might be at the beginning, you might be decades on in your faith journey, but yours is unique to you. And so as you go home today, I encourage you to really think about yours, just like Jesus' listeners did when they went home 2,000 years ago. And think about it. What kind of soil are you? And what kind of soil are you today? And what kind of soil can you pray to be tomorrow? Amen.